Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Philip Diehl Podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about my transphobia. Allegedly. I say allegedly because I honest to God believe from the bottom of my heart that I am not a transphobic person. At all. Not at all. And it always makes me so mad. All doesn't make me motherfucking mad when people want to come around and tell me who I am and tell me that I'm transphobic. So I need your help. I need you to listen to me talk, and then I need you to comment below and tell me how you feel about what I say. And if I sound transphobic or if my views are transphobic, I really would like you to tell me what that is. Because I'm a 43-year-old man, okay? I am Gen X, elder millennial, and I realize I'm older now. You know, back when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, 15, 18, 20. You know, I thought people in their 40s were old. I thought they were old, and now I'm old. Whenever you see nostalgia on TikTok that says, this is the 20th year anniversary of Kill Bill, it makes you really want to cry. My asshole puckers up, and I get a sharp stabbing pain in my rectum when I think about Kill Bill being over 20 years old as a movie. You know, because for us, it's kind of like, oh, no, man, that came out like, you know, a couple of years ago. It's because we don't want to face our mortality, right? It's because we don't want to face aging and getting old. And aging and getting old also means becoming out of touch with what's new, what's fresh, what's hot, new ideas, new creative ideas, new ways of doing things. I would like to consider myself still progressive and liberal for a 43-year-old. I think a lot of men my age are now being slammed into the category of moderates or conservatives. And I absolutely do not want to be considered conservative in any way, shape, or form. That being said, I need you to help me understand why people would consider what I say transphobic. So I'm going to go ahead and apologize from the jump and say, I am sorry if the things that I say offend anyone. However, instead of being offended and getting angry and yelling at me and just yelling at me in the comments, instead of getting mad, you have to accept that this is how I feel, this is my experience, and I'm listening to you and I'm asking you to help me understand my feelings and help me understand my experience, okay, and where I need to change. I 100% believe in change, and I want to be one of those people that has the ability to change. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and use my own philosophy, my own logic, and my own reasoning for a second, which is like, I'm a man. I am not a woman. Since I am not a woman, I will never deal with women's issues. I'm going to deal with men's issues. So women's issues are none of my motherfucking business. You see what I'm saying? Just like I don't feel like I have the right to speak on women's issues because I'm not a woman, I am also not trans. So I also don't have any way, shape, or form a right to speak on anything trans related. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not trans, you don't have anything to say about it. It's like being gay or being black. You know, I'm not black, so I got no goddamn business saying anything about anything when it comes to being black. That being said, it kind of is my business, though, when it affects society and it changes society, or it could personally affect me. I'm just going to give an example. I have a daughter. I have a 15-year-old daughter. She's getting ready to turn 16. She's not into sports, but if she was into sports, would I be concerned, or I would be concerned about biologically born males being able to compete against her in sports. So that's like a real that's a genuine concern, and I don't think that kind of concern should just be swept away, or people who have these kinds of feelings and concerns, that their feelings are minimalized in some kind of way. And instead of talking about it, just automatically attacking somebody. I think the biggest problem that I see everywhere when it comes to liberals is this knee-jerk response to yell and scream and shake your fist and start accusing people of being bad, evil, and phobic over things when maybe they're not at all. And I think that what we're seeing right now, like as of right now, Donald Trump is beating Joe Biden. Okay, Joe Biden is the president of the United States right now. I'm saying this for posterity purposes. Donald Trump is coming up against him. And there is this, like, who would ever believe that Donald Trump would get a second opportunity to run for president? Who would ever believe that this guy, after literally trying to end democracy once, is given the opportunity to run a second time and potentially could be the winner? It's shocking to me. It should be shocking to everyone. But there is this conservative backlash that is happening right now towards liberals, leftist, democratic socialist, whatever you want to call yourselves. I'm libertarian. I'm an independent person. I vote independently. I live in one of the most liberal states. I live in, like, Massachusetts is like the most liberal besides California in the entire United States. I live in one of the most liberal states. Vermont, Massachusetts, and California must be the most liberal, okay, states in the country. And I live in one, and I'm very happy to live in a liberal state. But I don't consider myself Republican or Democrat. I consider myself independent, and my views are much more libertarian, if I want to get really fucking specific about it. I had a friend that came over and had dinner with me, watched a movie, and spent the night. This was a while back, could have been a couple of months ago, but he is conservative, and I knew he was conservative, and I don't have a lot of conservative friends. I don't have a lot of friends. I especially don't have friends that I feel close enough that I can talk about, like, religion and politics and philosophy and really get into it, you know, really get into it. And this particular guy was telling me about, you know, his concerns as a Republican and as a Republican voter. And I asked him specifically, I'm like, as a Republican, as a conservative, what are, like, the top three things that you think that conservatives are going to vote on? Like, what do you think are the most important things to conservatives? And he said, freedom of speech. He said, the border. And then he said, and then, like, you know, it's always about gun control, but I think it's really about gender ideology is a big problem. And I said, okay. So then we got into this conversation, like, for the rest of the night about gender, because that was what I really wanted to focus on. Really wanted to focus on, well, how do you feel about gender? Like, what is wrong with the story that you want to see fixed and all of that? It was very eye-opening, and I was able to listen to this person talk and talk from the heart, and because he feels comfortable with me, he felt like he could be honest. He didn't filter himself. He didn't censor himself. There were some things he said that I found to be phobic. My personal opinion was phobic, and so I tried to talk to him or get him to understand a little bit more of my perspective and hopefully remove some of the phobia, because there was phobia that I helped to remove some of that. But it still didn't change some of these, like, really hot button, knee-jerk reaction, visceral response topics, such as biological boys in girls' sports, biological males going into female spaces. And I think that there's a lot of men out there who are very concerned about their sons being influenced and affected by media and social contagions. And I think that there's a lot of men who, you know, walk around who might have homophobia and transphobia. And those things, they don't express those views. But when it comes to, like, their boys, are their sons or their kids, and how can it affect their boys? Then you see that machismo, then you see that, like, male visceral response to react in a phobic way towards anything that is not hypermasculine. If you've never listened to my podcast before, just know that I just rant and I just talk and I talk and I talk and I go off on these tangents and I try to bring myself back. I actually have notes. This is the first time I'm ever going to be uploading an episode of the Philip Deal podcast to YouTube. My podcast is also available on Spotify. That's where most of my listeners are, but I'm also on Apple Podcast and pretty much all the podcasting platforms except for Google, because that went away. I also want to take the opportunity to say that I do not make any money off of my content, not that I make on any of my social media platforms, not my podcast. So if you want to make a donation to my work as a content creator, you can Cash App me or Venmo me $5, $10, or $20 if you follow me on a regular basis and you appreciate what I do. I will accept a donation from you, so just follow the link on my link tree. Okay, so let me get back on topic here. Before we go on, I just want to tell everybody how I identify, okay? I identify as mycelium. I used to joke around and tell everybody that I identified as cauliflower. You know how cauliflower doesn't really taste like anything, but it'll taste like whatever it is you put on top of it? Yeah, that's me, cauliflower. It's funny because I was getting mental, emotional, and behavioral health support the other day, and I went into an environment where I was talking to a therapist, and she was like, so what are your pronouns? And, you know, that really irritates me. The pronoun thing irritates me, but I'm going to tell you why I know the pronoun thing irritates me. I have a very good goddamn reason to have a problem with people asking me for my pronouns, and I'm going to tell you about it. But, of course, instead of getting upset, I just said, he, him. You know, and in that moment, it's like, you know, what's the big fucking deal? You know, somebody asked me what my pronouns are, you know, I said he, him. I mean, she asked me what my ethnicity was. She asked me if I was married. She asked me if I had kids. She asked me if I had any drug or alcohol or substance related issues. She asked me what my pronouns were. You know, those were the questions, and I answered them. And it literally took less than a second to answer. So I don't know why people get so mad about being asked what their pronouns are, but I know why I get mad, and I want to tell you the little story why. I just released a book, by the way, and it's called, and there's, I got another fucking thing I want to say by Philip Ryan Deal. It's available on Amazon, only on Kindle right now. But I talk about this in my book. When I was a little boy, I was very androgynous. That's the word, androgynous. I had red hair. My mom kept my hair longer. And I had very, very soft features. And I was kind of like Pat. I'm not even going to lie. I was like Pat. And so when I was a little boy, I remember going to church and I remember other little boys and girls coming up to me and asking me if I was a boy or a girl. Like other boys would ask me if I was a girl. And it, of course, it would make me mad. It would make me angry. Like, fuck you. Like, how dare you? Can't you, when you look at me, can't you recognize me as a boy? Like, obviously I present as a boy. Well, no, obviously I didn't present as a boy. I presented as a Pat, you know, as something that was not necessarily distinguishable. And that went on for a long time until maybe I was like 8 or 9 years old. And now that I think about it and I go back and I look at pictures of myself, I'm like, you know, I can understand why some people might have not known or been able to easily distinguish what your gender is. But still, I always felt that it was rude to ask. Like, I don't think you should ask somebody what their gender is or ask somebody what their pronouns are. If you get into a conversation or a dialogue with that person and you talk to them long enough, you will figure out what their pronouns are, right? Just from having conversation, you know? But I always think it's rude to ask for people's pronouns. Like, I think it's rude to ask somebody what their sexual orientation is, because it's like, you know, motherfucker, you don't, who said that you had any right to know anything personal about me and my internal life, my intimate life, you know? How dare you ask me what my sexual preference is? It's not your business, because we ain't fucking, you know? And it's the same thing with asking me my pronouns. Well, why do you care? You see, so there's there's that whole Generation X thing, elder millennial thing coming through. Like, why do you care? Why is it so fucking important for you to ask me any kind of personal questions? You see? So like Joe Rogan. I'll give you an example. I used to really like Joe Rogan. I used to like his podcast, but it's really gone really, really, really downhill for him. And I know that he has people on who, it's good that he interviews a very diverse population of people that have a lot of different views, but I feel like he got really tripped up on the trans-related issues, and he's one of those podcasters that has kind of like keeps coming back almost in an obsessive way talking about trans-related stuff. Yes, you're a dude. Yes, you're into sports. We know that. You're all about sports and fighting and all this stuff, and yes, you have a huge problem with biological men fighting biological women in the ring, and you're mad about it. We get it. You're mad. Okay. I feel like we're making way too big of a deal over this gender thing. I think that I've been called transphobic, and I'm going to go ahead and state my transphobic views for those of you who are automatically assuming that I'm transphobic. I'm going to tell you what my most controversial view is. So traditionally, I think in indigenous spirituality, there's this concept of two-gendered people or two-spirited people. So I had always thought for the longest time that I considered that there were three genders, male, female, and then very special people that embodied both genders. So for me, there are women. There are people that identify as women by gender. But even within the spectrum of women that identify as women, there is a really big variety of ways of expressing femininity. There's a lot of different ways to be female. Okay, so femininity or being female from the gender perspective is a very broad range. You can express that in many different ways. Same thing with men who identify as men. Masculinity is a very broad spectrum and a range. What do I mean? Well, we have let me use Hollywood stars just to give you an example. Like, we've got Arnold Schwarzenegger. We've got David Bowie. We have Prince. We have, D'Angelo, John Mayer. I'm just throwing some names out there so that you understand. You know, when you look at men who identify as men, we all express our masculinity on this broad spectrum, even me too. You know, I did a lot of gender bending and drag when I was younger. For entertainment purposes, I really liked it. I thought it was fun to do. I thought it was fun to dress up as a girl. And I thought it was fun to put on lipstick and go out on a stage and lip sync, you know, Madonna or Cher or other female entertainers. Being a female impersonator, I thought was a really fun job. So I've always considered myself kind of gender queer. Because I have in social situations flipped back and forth between male and female identity gender. But like I said, that was for performance purposes. You know, it wasn't my life. My mambo, actually, in Haitian voodoo, my priestess, is a trans woman. So that's the other thing. Like, even when I'm making this podcast and talking about all these things, you know, I'm thinking about my mambo. I'm thinking about, she's a real trans woman. She looks like a woman. When she wakes up in the morning and she puts on her skirt or she puts on her dress or whatever it is she's going to wear for the day, she is female, and she is always female all the time. And I don't think anybody looking at her would even question whether or not she was male or female. She's just female in just every way, shape, or form. And when they initiate her, they initiated her as a mambo asagwe. They initiated her as a woman, as a female, which is another reason why I really love Haitian voodoo, because of the fact that the spirits of that tradition, the Loa, love everyone. They're not going to turn anyone away. And within the Haitian voodoo community, you will see all kinds of people, regardless of gender, sexual orientation, or ethnicity, you know, practicing that tradition. The voodoo tradition is a beautiful tradition. But what I'm trying to say is that, so we've got males and females and people that contain both of those energies. And even within that, let's say, double spirit or two-spirited category that I'm used to, what I used to use, even within that category, that expresses itself on this huge spectrum. You know, you've got non-binary people that don't identify as either gender. I really don't get that. I really don't understand. I struggle with the non-binary thing, but that is way outside of my pay range. I don't have anything to say about it because I don't understand it. I mean, because for me, you know, I wake up in the morning and I look under the sheets and I've got this big fucking heart on, you know, and every single time I go to the bathroom, you know, I got to pull down my pants and see my penis. So, you know, for me, the idea of walking around non-binary, but, you know, having genitalia that you have to work with all the time, just, I don't get it. But you know what? If you're a non-binary out there and you get it and you understand you, then that's fucking great. You know, good for you. Like I said, I identify as mycelium. I think mycelium might identify as non-binary, to be honest. Mycelium. So that's my controversial view on gender. There are biological males, biological females, and there are people who are intersect. And then there are males, and there are females, and everybody in between. And males and females both express their gender on a spectrum. And people who are trans or non-binary also express their gender on a spectrum. See, what I hope and what I would wish is that most normal people walking down the street, I'm not talking about these people that just talk on TikTok and podcast, on YouTube. I would hope that the average person walking down the street can understand that we're all on a spectrum, okay? All of our behaviors exist on a spectrum, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Everybody has the right to pursue happiness in this country. And as long as that person pursuing their happiness does not infringe on my rights, I don't really have anything to say about it. There are people out there that believe that in a perfect world, everybody would be heterosexual, identify with their biological birth body, and be white, period. There are people that believe that. And that shit is nuts because it is not reality. Now, let's be honest. Would it be easier if we all looked alike and racism wasn't a thing because everybody looked alike or because everybody was straight and there was no questions about where you put your ding-a-ling or that there was no gender confusion or everything was very nice and neat and tidy and put into a box and with a bow on top? Yeah, I think life would be different. I really don't think it would be better. I don't think it would be better. I do not think the world would be a better place if we were all the same color, or if everyone was heterosexual, or if everyone identified with their gender. I don't think that would be a very interesting world to live in. There's also something I have to say about it. I believe in God. I do. I believe in the source, the all, okay? I believe that we're all expressions of the divine, okay? God is you and God is me and God lives in you in the same way your mom and your dad live in you. God lives in me in the same way my ancestors live in me, okay? Because just like you contain the essence of your mother and your father, we all contain the essence of the divine. We all contain the essence of the divine. That includes people that you don't like. Because when I see these motherfucking yogis out there saying, oh, namaste, namaste, namaste to you, namaste to you. Okay, so it's like the God in me acknowledges the God in you. But do you acknowledge the God that existed in Jeffrey Dahmer? What about the divine that existed in Adolf Hitler? Those people were also God. Because if you're going to sit there or stand up on your soapbox and say, we're all God, we're all God's children, we're all manifestations of the divine, then you have to stand by that and apply that rule to everyone. that the divine spark exists in everyone, whether you like them or not, whether the way they express themselves in space, okay, or in life is in alignment or not in alignment with you or with your beliefs. But now what we need to talk about is this whole situation of forced acceptance, because getting back to my friend that came over and had dinner with me and spent the night, he was talking about how gender ideology and trans rights was a huge thing for people who are voting Republican or people who are conservative. And the first thing he said was freedom of speech. And I'm like, well, what kind of speech do you feel is being infringed upon? What speech? And he just said, in generally, well, just everything. I feel like everywhere I go, I'm being censored. And I'm like, well, I understand that too. I've been censored a lot for the things that I've said. I've lost many, many profiles and accounts on TikTok because I spoke my mind and it violated community standards, whatever that is. You know, in America, we have freedom of speech. Freedom of speech protects the speech that you don't like. It protects the speech that you hate, not the speech that you find to be appropriate or that you approve of. And I believe in freedom of speech, and I believe in freedom of speech at all cost. There was a girl who was in college, and she was in law school, and she said that she was going to school to be a lawyer, and for some reason I was on her TikTok live for a minute. I was conversing with her. She's a witch, a lawyer and a witch, and she was talking about, I said something about freedom of speech, that we have the right to freedom of speech in this country, and she was like, but not hate speech. And I was like, no, we have the right to use hate speech. And she wanted to fight with me on it. And she said, not all speech should be legal. And that really, really shocks me. That really shocks me. That's a real dangerous path to take. One of the reasons why we are who we are is because we have been allowed to have the freedom to be able to say how we feel, how we think. If you don't say how you feel or how you think, then you can't converse with anybody. You can't grow. You can't learn. You can't evolve. So yeah, do I have a problem with those, Westboro Baptist church people that go and stand on the corner with their God hates fags, signs? Absolutely. 100%. I think that's horrible. But they have the right to do it. They have the right to do it. And I believe that their right should be protected to be able to continue to do that. I do not believe in that, but I do not think that you can police people's speech. It's a very bad idea. It doesn't work. We have historical proof that it doesn't work on very grand scales. But the idea that there are Americans walking around believing that there is certain things you can and cannot say and it should be law really should scare all of you. Because when we take away the Westboro Baptist Church's right to say, God hates fags, then we take away everybody's speech. When we take their speech away, we take away everyone's speech. Because where is the end? What's the end to that? Where does that stop? At what point in time do you stop policing people's speech? But like I was saying before, I believe in God, and I do not believe that God makes mistakes. A period. And to look at nature, because see, my religion, my spirituality is based on nature. When I look at the world and I look at nature, I see there are animals that same-sex pair with one another, like penguins. I think there are like so-called gay dolphins out there. Being gay, okay, is kind of like an anomaly. It is an anomaly in nature. It's something that exists, but we don't know why it's there. And it doesn't just exist in human beings, it exists in the animal kingdom. So based on that scientific evidence, observable evidence that same-sex pairing happens in nature, I don't know why anybody would be surprised if there are two men that prefer to be with one another, paired as a partner, rather than with the opposite sex. Because God doesn't make mistakes. And it's a very small percentage of people. It's not everybody. I mean, when you turn on television and you watch Netflix or you go to the movies or you turn on Disney Plus, you would really think that the world is a lot gayer now than it was 20 years ago. And if you're a conservative, you're afraid that all of the propaganda that Disney is shoving down our children's throat is making them gay. and trans. But that's not true. It's always been there. Gay people have always been around. So have lesbians. So have bisexual people. And trans people. Always been around. But people who fall into these categories of the LGBTQ plus is a minority of people. It is not the majority. Most men are attracted to women, and most women are attracted to men. And most people identify with the gender, the biological sex that they were, their gender aligns with their biological body. But in some people, it doesn't. So now I want to get really, really, really deep philosophically with it. I want to get really, really deep into it. This is the part that's really important. This is the teaching part. You are your ancestors. I teach ancestor veneration, and I do ancestor work. I encourage people to do ancestor work. And ancestry and working with ancestors is 99% of my practice. I work with spirits of nature, and I work with spirits of the dead as a witch. Your DNA and your RNA, okay, your DNA is a link, it's a chain that binds you to every single person who has ever come before you, all the way back to the beginning of time, all the way back to the womb of God, all the way back to God. God is the first ancestor. Anything that comes into existence has to be birthed into existence, which is why I have always considered the divine, the creator, to be feminine. Because we say from God's womb comes creation, that creation is birthed into existence. And in the womb, all babies are female first, biologically female first, and then because of testosterone, for whatever reason, decides to surge and attack that particular fetus, then it destroys everything that's female about it, or sheds everything that's female about it, to become a male in the womb, or biologically male in the womb. There are two books that you guys absolutely need to look up. One is called The Male Brain, and the second one is called The Female Brain by Luann Brizendine. Luann Brizendine. That book, The Male Brain, did so much for me. Oh my God, that book changed my life. And I recommend it to everybody. Luann Brizendine wrote a New York Times bestseller. It was called The Female Brain. And she's a scientist and a doctor. And what she pretty much talks about the whole time, or a researcher, what she talks about the whole time is how hormones affect behavior. Now, this is very important, okay, especially since we're talking about gender. Biological males, biological females, intersexed, whatever gender identity a person has. What she really shows is that behavior is shaped by hormones. It is. It's a biological thing. People want to deny that. People want to say that gender is a social construct. Well, it's not if you read these two books. When you read The Male and Female Brain, and she wrote these years ago, before anybody ever had a discussion about gender identity. What she shows very clearly is how hormones affect people's behavior. What makes a man, and what drives male behavior has a lot to do with hormonal balance. It has a lot to do with testosterone. And that's science. That's hardcore science. It's saying that hormones matter, that biological sex does have play a part in gender identification. And that is where I have to agree, and I have to break with people on that biological, the biological body or the biological sex that you're born with doesn't play any role in shaping your gender identification. No, it's pretty much scientifically proven that it does, based on hormonal balance. But that doesn't mean that the possibility or the potentiality for transgenderism isn't there, because like I just said a minute ago, you are all of your ancestors. And this is what I believe, okay? I believe that we contain the code of our ancestors. So inherently within each individual person, there are many different ways somebody can develop. And it requires the right environment in order to switch on or switch off those particular genes. So we could say that someone who was born biologically male either by hormonal balance or through their DNA or RNA or through some kind of genetic inheritance, has the predisposition to have this condition we call transgenderism. And with the proper environment, putting that person within the proper environment is going to give them the opportunity to express that. I am a proponent of nature and nurture, not just nature and not just nurture in creating who we are, because we're not separate from our environment. You are not separate from your environment. I think sometimes the genetic inheritance is so strong that it literally slams up against and has a head-on collision with its environment. But once again, if you believe that gender is 100% a social construct, that is a belief. It is not fact. It is a belief. It is an idea. It's a concept that can't be backed up from empirical research, nor is the argument sound based on scientific research. But if you're willing to die on that hill, go ahead and go do that. I don't have conversations with people that believe the earth is flat, because we have seen pictures of the earth from space. If you don't believe we've ever been to space and you're one of those people that believe all the pictures that, like, the James Webb telescope or any other photography that's been done from space is all fake or AI generated, you're fucking crazy. I have nothing to say to you. We have nothing to talk about. So, like, getting into the comments of this video and just yelling and screaming over and over and over again that gender is a social construct, it's just an idea, it's just a belief. Yeah, that's true. That's your belief. There's another thing that we need to take into account. We don't want to forget that transgenderism is a mental and behavioral health condition. It is still listed as a mental and behavioral health condition. You know, it is not normal. It is not natural for someone to not be able to recognize their own gender or identify with their biological sex. That is something that is, it's an anomaly that happens in nature, but it is looked at as a disorder. That being said, we need to talk about gender-affirming care. Oh my God. This is the topic that has gotten me into a lot of trouble, because I am against gender-affirming care for minors. I got to get really, really, really specific. And if this offends you in any kind of way, I need you to just kind of white knuckle it for a minute to listen to what I have to say. Children don't know who they are. Kids just don't know who they are. Anybody who's in their 40s or 50s or 60s or even in their late 30s are probably going to, most people are going to say, yeah, when I was 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And I think that children should not be allowed to make choices for themselves that are going to, that could potentially destroy their futures. And I think it is highly irresponsible for adults to allow children to make decisions about their health that could so drastically destroy their lives. And we see that in the detransition stories all over YouTube and all of these horror stories of people that were put on hormones and puberty blockers, girls under the age of 18 who have had double mastectomies, that were giving testosterone that dried up their uterus like a prune and dropped their voice so low that it'll never go back to sounding normal. There's a lot of detransition stories, and they don't tell you about those things. They want to suppress and not show the reality of what can happen when adults allow a child to make a choice that they're not ready to make. I believe that if you want to change your gender and you want to biologically modify yourself or go through cosmetic surgery to make you look like how you feel on the inside, I do not think any process like that should happen to anyone under the age of 18. That's the big controversy. What I feel is that I feel like the kids that they're getting to go into these kinds of therapies, I really feel like it's an evil side of science. It's the part of science that says, well, we know that it's a potential that a lot of lives are going to be destroyed by doing this kind of therapy, But scientists want to see what happens. I mean, that's what these scientists want to do. If we want to know how the human body works, how hormones work, maybe even how to reverse diseases. I mean, I'm sure that there's all kinds of data coming out from studying people who are going through transitions, hormonal transitions and sex change therapy from a young age. I'm sure they're pulling a lot of data from that. And I feel like it's mad scientist kind of data. I feel like these doctors and these scientists that are doing these things to these kids, they care more about what they're going to learn from the allowing the experience than the actual lives of the people that have to live it. To me, gender-affirming care should mean getting mental and behavioral health treatment to any child that is experiencing any kind of distress around their gender identity, period. Being able to give children medication, like for anxiety or depression, like we do now for kids who are suffering from other kinds of stresses and anxieties and depressions that are not related to gender. I think we should have them find coping mechanism skills to be able to deal with the world, the stresses of the world, and to be able to get up every morning and to love themselves and put on the clothes that they want to put on and call themselves what they want to be called. If my daughter tomorrow called me up and said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I think that I'm trans," I would be like, "Well, tell me what your boy name is. I guess I'm going to start using he, him pronouns for you. That's just fine. Do you need money for some new clothes? I mean, do you want to dress like a dude starting tomorrow? You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to get your hair cut?" I would 100% support the identity of my child, but I absolutely could not support any kind of drugs or hormonal therapy or any kind of plastic surgery that would be done on my child just because she felt a certain kind of way. We don't allow kids to use certain essential oils. We don't allow kids to take certain dietary supplements. We don't allow kids to use certain kinds of herbs in holistic and herbal therapy. We don't give kids certain drugs because we know that it can damage them. We don't allow kids to drink. You have to be 21 to buy alcohol. You have to be 21 to buy marijuana legally in Massachusetts. So if we don't allow kids to drink alcohol, smoke weed, use some essential oils, let them use dietary supplements, or give them particular herbs because we're afraid it's going to affect them in some kind of way, how can we allow a kid to basically sterilize themselves? Because little boys that go on puberty blockers when they're little boys, their penises never grow. Their testicles don't drop. Boys that are prepubescent that go on puberty blockers, there's the running the risk of being sterile. There's also the risk of becoming not being able to get an erection and not being able to have sexual intercourse, never having an orgasm. How selfish is that? And I'm just going to say this, there's something very pervy that I find about adults that are so pro-trans everything. I think they're almost like another kind of predator. See, I want to protect trans people from predators, but I feel like the people that are really into this, that are really excited to see little boys and little girls transition, I think that there's something a little perverse about it. I said what I said. If you don't like what I said, I'm not sorry about that one. I believe that we should affirm children. I believe that we should affirm their feelings. I believe that we should help them, guide them, protect them from danger, teach them how to have proper boundaries between themselves and others, and we should, you know, listen to our kids. But at the same time, I don't think that our children should be able to make decisions about their body like what they do in gender-affirming care. So being against this gender-affirming care has been one of the big problems that I've faced online, because in reality, I do not think, this is the point, I don't think the fix is in body modification and hormones. I don't believe that's where the fix happens. I think the fix happens through therapy and it happens through a person being able to embrace who they are 100% and be able to live their most authentic lives. I think that's where the breakthrough happens. Because if you're born biologically male, yet you identify as female, nothing that you ever do to your body is going to change the fact that you're female. You are female. You wake up every morning and identify as female. No one can take that away from you. That's you. That's who you are. That is how God expresses God's self through you. So be that and be okay with that and be happy with that. That is what we have to try to help people do, is embrace who they are and love themselves. And then when they're old enough to be able to make the legal decisions for themselves about how they're going to deal with their body, have them deal with their body. I don't think it's going to ruin anybody's life to have to wait a few years to start hormone therapy or to have a double mastectomy or any other kind of body modifications that have to be done in order to make a person look like their gender that they identify with, because that's what it is. By the use of hormone therapy and plastic surgery, we can turn any man or any woman into the opposite gender, biologically and aesthetically. And that's just great. But unless you're 18 years old, I don't think you get the right to do that. And I think that is protecting children from making very bad choices. And I think there's something very weird about these people who are in this profession of body modification and in gender affirming care that to me, in some kind of way, is coming off sinister and not like they're actually interested in helping people. I think that they see a lot of these kids as science experiments, and that's what breaks my heart. I feel like, no, children are not science experiments. They're people. They're individuals. They have feelings, and people's feelings change. You know, in a lot of European countries that offer gender-affirming care and offer this kind of hormonal therapy and also gender reassignment surgery and things like that, a lot of European countries stopped practicing it because they realized that there were negative and harmful effects. And I feel the same way. And I don't feel or think that makes me a transphobic person in any way, shape, or form. Not in any way, shape, or form. I want to protect trans people. I want to protect everybody. So, like, protecting everybody means protecting trans people. And protecting children from harming themselves means protecting trans kids, too. It protects everyone across the board. And so that's where the disconnect comes for me when I'm thinking about the best interest of people. I'm thinking about the best interest of children. I'm thinking about the best interest to society. Like, how can we not fuck up things more than we already have? And for people to turn around and to tell me that I'm full of hatred or to tell me that I am hate. I literally had someone say, tell me to my face that I was hate. That's what I was at my core. I am hate. Like, that was like, that stabbed me in my heart. I couldn't imagine. I could never imagine. For one thing, I could never imagine saying that to another person, although, yeah, I could imagine myself saying that to another person. But I couldn't imagine, I just couldn't imagine being told that. Like, how is this possible? And it's a real slippery slope, you know. You can't expect people just to change society on a whim, you know. The whole thing about requiring people to state their pronouns or allowing people who are not biologically female, born biologically female, going into biologically female spaces. Like, I get it. I understand why women would be mad. I understand why women would be upset about that. You know, women have been treated like property for most of human history. And when they were not treated like property, they were treated like sex slaves. That their bodies existed for the purpose of producing more babies or just for sexual pleasure for men or they weren't allowed to do anything. They weren't allowed to vote. And through the women's suffrage movement and through through feminism and through the sexual revolution, women burned their bras. They reclaimed the word witch and witches. They entered into the workforce, and they literally have proved that they can do everything a man can do, except picking up, a 50-pound object and throwing it farther than a man, because biological men are stronger than biological women, because being born biologically male gives you an advantage when it comes to athleticism and strength and endurance. And if I was a woman, I would be really, really mad and offended if somebody referred to me as a person with a womb. That's very, very offensive. Because to me, you're either a man or a woman. Because you tell me you're a man or a woman. Or you're neither, or non-binary. And you tell me that, and I accept you at face value. And like I said again, I think it's the pushiness and the trying to force acceptance and force people to behave a certain kind of way when they're not about it. They're not interested in it. It doesn't align with who they are as a person. It doesn't align with their belief system. So a lot of people walking around on the street that do not that believe that homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, these things are evil. They are bad. And if we lived in biblical times, we would have the right to stone them, but we can't because we live in America and we're mad about it. There's a lot of people that feel that these things are bad and wrong and should be stamped out of society, stamped out of you, with no legal protections at all. And if they could, they would yeet queer people out of existence. You know, so what the libs have done is they've provoked that hornet's nest. And when I think about reform, social reform, when it comes to how we interact with each other as human beings, Homo sapiens, I really do feel like we're, you know, the whole trans thing and gender identity and the desire to reach apotheosis, become the best version of yourself, become the most authentic version of yourself, self-actualize. I think that this whole crisis that we've come into talking about and discussing gender, I think is a hiccup along the way to us evolving into something better than what we are. See, the reason why I consider myself a liberal still and not a conservative and not a centrist is because I believe the only path forward is forward. It is not going in reverse. But most people are not willing to try something new. Most people are also not willing to sit down and make concessions or sit down and negotiate things. Everybody wants things done their way, and that's it, period. They're not willing to listen to anybody else who has an idea or an opinion about a different way of doing things. People don't have the ability to be civil anymore. They can't have conversations. You can't have a debate. Saying that I want to have a debate with somebody is like, it's word violence. People do not like being challenged. They don't like their beliefs and their ideologies being challenged. And it seems like on both sides, the people who are super lib and super woke, and on the other side, the people that are super conservative and really, really, you know, what we would say close-minded, these people are really ready to go into an all-out war over it. And I feel like most people sit somewhere in between. I would like to believe that most Americans walking around on the street don't give a fuck what other people are doing when it comes to who they're fucking or how they're identifying or what clothing they put on in the morning when they walk outside their front door. I would like to believe that most Americans just don't care. You know, and when they go out on the street and they take polls on these things, like how do you feel about this or that, you know, the people that give the answers are the people that actually have feel some kind of way about it. So that's what you get in polls. You know, it's like most people aren't going to disclose how they're going to vote. So when you see polls about the popularity contest between like Biden and Trump, you know, you're getting a lot of opinions. But at the end of the day, nobody really knows. Nobody really knows how this election is going to turn out. There are too many variables, and it really is a toss-up. But the media so desires and wants for you to believe that there is some kind of trend. So anyway, this was a very, very interesting little conversation I had with myself on video with you. I just kind of like want to do a recap on all of my beliefs and my feelings, just to be very, very super clear for posterity purposes how I feel about transgenderism and this whole gender ideology situation going on in America right now. There are biological females, and there are biological males, and there are people who are intersexed, their physical body. And when it comes to having a gender identity, there are females and there are males. And the way females express femininity is on a very broad spectrum. And the way men express their masculinity is on a very broad spectrum. And then there's everybody who does not identify as either male or female or both. And within that that small percentage of people that actually don't fall in, you know, a gender binary worldview, that also expresses itself in many different ways. And it's all beautiful and it's all good, and we should all respect one another. Like Alan Watts said, variety is the spice of life. I do not believe in gender-affirming care as it is. I believe gender-affirming care should be treating the mental and behavioral health conditions of children and helping children be able to be happy with who they are and be able to express themselves in a safe way and protect children from making really, really bad mistakes. And then when they're old enough and they turn 18, have the availability, the options to be able to use hormones and do cosmetic surgery in order to look the way they want to look. But I think the minimum age that anyone should be handed any of that kind of those medicines, those therapies, or those surgeries, the minimum age has to be 18. As far as trans people in sports are concerned, I don't have any opinion on it because I am not an athlete, so I don't have an opinion about it. I have never been into sports. I'm an artist, so I don't have anything to say about it. I understand the arguments about biological strength, but at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck, so I don't have an opinion about it. I feel like the doctors, therapists, and scientists that push gender-affirming care are all really weird. I think there's something really creepy and sinister about it. And the people that I have met that are into this just seem like they're not thinking clear. They're obviously not thinking clearly if they're okay with children harming themselves or potentially creating harm for themselves. Now, as far as men and women sharing spaces like bathrooms and locker rooms and things like that, you know, for me, in a perfect world, these things wouldn't matter. In a perfect world, going into a changing room with people of different genders or both genders wouldn't matter. It would not be an issue. It just, people wouldn't even think about it. But it is. It is an issue. It's not an issue for me. And it's not an issue for people that are like me, you know, the people that are of my generation, the people that feel and think the way that I do. You got a dick, you got a pussy, whatever. You got to pee, you got to change, whatever. It is what it is, you know. But I do realize that it is a very important matter for women. So I also don't have anything to say about it. I think basically, I think everyone should be able to respect everyone's community standards in the sense that, you know, if Planet Fitness came out tomorrow and said, you know, it doesn't matter how you identify, you know, I don't know if Planet Fitness was in the news for this or not. If Planet Fitness came out and said, it doesn't matter how you identify, whatever, however you identify by gender, your gender identity, then we want you to use a locker room that you feel the most comfortable in. If you're a woman that does not want to be in a locker room with trans women, quit Planet Fitness and go to the YMCA. And if the YMCA says you have to use a locker room based on the gender assigned to you at birth, your biological gender, and you're liberal and you don't like that, or you're trans and you don't want to be forced to use a locker room that you don't want to be in, then go to Planet Fitness. I think at the end of the day, everybody should stay in their own fucking lane. Stop worrying about what other people do. Find other people that think and feel the way you do and run with those people. Go to hang out in the same places. Create your own organizations. Same thing with sports. Okay, well, let's put it out there. You know, create organizations where people can compete against one another regardless of how they were assigned at birth, their gender assigned at birth. But it's about respect. It's about respecting other people. So anyway, this was a long-ass conversation. I talked about a lot of things. I'm going to go edit my podcast now, and I'm going to listen to it. And after I listen to it, and if I feel like it's worth publishing, I'll publish it. And if it's not worth publishing, then I'll throw it out. But I hope you like this session. Like I said, I do want your constructive criticism. I want your feedback. I'm looking for people to tell me something new, something I haven't heard before, or even you can make a video, you know, about this podcast, and you can respond to me with a video so that I can see your face while you're telling me the things that you want me to hear, okay? So I hope you guys all have a wonderful day. Enjoy yourselves. And I will be back soon for another episode of the Philip Thiel Podcast.